Welcome to Green Connections Radio, where we help you live green, work green, and earn green. I'm Joan Michelson. Find us online on greenconnectionsradio.com, like us on Facebook, and follow me on Twitter and us at Green Connects DC. Happy New Year. As the new year kicks off, we are planning for a new year. What are the two main things we look at? We look at money and we look at career planning. And those are our focus today. We could not have a better person for Green Connections to talk to about these two critical issues than our guest today. Barbara Krumsik is immediate past president and CEO of Calvert Investments, having literally just stepped down a few weeks ago on December 31st after 17 amazing years at the helm. She's a master investor focused on performance through socially responsible investing and has truly been instrumental in elevating socially responsible investing into the mainstream and proving that it is financially viable. Barbara is still chair of Calvert's board of directors and has a new role, which I think is very cool and we'll talk about, heading up the new Calvert Institute, which just launched in January, to, quote, promote the growth of sustainable and responsible investing through research advocacy and fostering innovation in the field of sustainable investing. Also, in 2010, Barbara received the CEDAW Women's Human Rights Award, which is a big international human rights organization, and a few months ago was awarded the 2014 Socially Responsible Investing Industry's Most Prestigious, Most Influential Leader Award. By the way, she was also a math major and very proud of it, I understand, and serves on the board of the Girl Scouts of America. I interviewed the Girl Scouts of America about their STEM program, by the way. Welcome to Green Connections, Barbara.
Thank you, Joan. Delighted to be with you.
Thank you. So let's start off with a definition. What is your definition of socially responsible investing?
To me, sustainable and responsible investing, or SRI, is the process of incorporating an analysis of a number of factors that would influence the future prospects of the company, but might not be reflected necessarily in today's financial traditional analysis. Things like environmental practices, workplace practices, human rights practices, governance, corporate governance, community relations, indigenous people's rights. But to me, it's all about those company issues and strategies that will can either enhance the future for the company, which is what we're always looking for and believe, or could be potential liabilities or negatives. So that's my definition of SRI, and I'm sticking with it.
That's good. Yeah, I understand. That's pretty much what I've heard, although you're putting workplace practices in there is pretty interesting to me. And often, and I think you're probably perhaps including this in governance and workplace issues, but is a commitment to diversity as well.
That is very significant. I believe it's the right thing to be thinking about and for companies to be conscious of. But it's also very good for business and very good for quality of management to have diverse teams, diverse senior management teams, and diverse boards. And yes, it shows up, I think, Joan, in governance as a factor, and it also shows up within our analysis of workplace practices.
Okay, good. What are the keys to successful socially responsible investing? There are so many investors still who think that it's kind of a nice to have but not a must have, and that they don't really see the numbers performing so well, and they say things like just, you know, buy stock in the other companies and spend it to do good things.
I do think the investment path stands on its own as one that will that benefits from a more holistic analysis of a company and a sector and industries in order to really produce in the long run better financial results. That means, of course, they have to have the talent and the resources to analyze these issues or take advantage of those resources that are available to them to include this analysis. I personally don't believe there is a give-up. I think there are a number of studies in terms of return if one does consider these sustainability factors. There are a number of studies, McKinsey, Credit Suisse, that might take certain aspects of the sustainability equation. For example, there are several studies about the positive effect in the stock price of having a more diverse board.
What about climate risk? I mean, now, you know, we're looking at the effects of climate change. We have Superstorm Sandy. We have, obviously, insurance companies going, wait a minute, this is costing us a lot of money here. How currently is climate risk reflected in these analyses?
I think in two ways. The traditional way of thinking of climate risk would be are companies striving to reduce greenhouse gas emissions? Are they seeking to reduce their carbon footprint? There are a number of services that will analyze that for companies and help track that metric. I think increasingly, the climate, and I said there were two, maybe there were three different ways to think about this. The second might be, what opportunities are presented here for companies to offer new tools for whether it's consumers or businesses to manage their energy use, their water use, how they manage their environmental impacts. We certainly see some examples of companies that see this as a field for innovation and expansion of their businesses. And thirdly, I'd say, is the mitigation path, where we don't just expect companies to reduce. We do expect and hope that they will realize and that climate change is a force that's underway, and therefore it's not just enough necessarily to reduce, but to really be thoughtful about mitigation. And examples of this are, we've seen examples with Sandy and other climate events or storm events, that flooding has become so much more prevalent. So it might have been okay to put certain generators or equipment or whatever in at a certain level in a company's operations, but now that all has to be raised up. So is mitigation underway? Is there a thoughtful and comprehensive way to think about climate change for the company to protect its current assets to grow its business, and to recognize that reducing carbon footprint is not just good for the company, good for the community, the environment, and for the health of our society overall.
Mm-hmm. And yet so many companies are still not taking those steps, which just kind of blows me away.
It does, but Joan, I think it's fewer and fewer. I think it's become, there may still be debates about the source of climate change, but I think it's virtually, I mean, the SEC now does require disclosure in terms of how a company and its board are considering climate risk in their strategies, and request for some disclosure along those lines. So I think it's become generally accepted that it is as an occurrence. Again, there's some, I believe, some legacy dispute about the cause of it, the source of it.
Mm-hmm. And what the steps you need to take are relevant, obviously, to your business if you've got a major manufacturing
Absolutely.
Plan on a coastal community.
Absolutely.
You want to think about moving it inland.
Right.
And just one final question. What can public policy do? What can policymakers do to affect these socially responsible investing, socially responsible values, diversity and environment? What is the role of public policy in this?
Well, we've always felt in the investment world that disclosure is very critical. And I do commend the SEC, certainly over the last, I guess it's 3 to 5 years, has included disclosure requirements in the area of diversity, where companies are expected to report on how they conduct a board search and where they what talents they look for and why they've chosen the candidates they've chosen, and that diversity should be part of their disclosures. Whether those disclosures have really told us a whole lot is another matter, I think. It's possible to sometimes be very bland, you know, diversity of thought or diversity of background, and therefore kind of we'd like to see a real, or I'd like to see very specifically gender, race, ethnicity, that sort of disclosures. And the SEC, as I said earlier, with the climate change and environmental disclosures, that's been also set forward as important and required. So I think we have some tools. We have disclosures. We have large asset owners, the large pension funds, who are increasingly including in their specifications for their asset managers to discuss how they address these these factors in their investment process, how their organizations are organized and shaped. So we have some I might call them external forces, Joan. We got some major external constituencies. There's something called the Principles for Responsible Investing, which includes, I'm going to underestimate the dollar amount, $1 trillion of asset owner dollars. These asset owners and pension funds, again, or sovereign wealth funds, that have signed on to these Principles for Responsible Investing. Now we need the effort, I think, to become, and we have a lot of help for women as individuals. Lots of books, lots of cheerleading. But what we need now is the pieces to come together within the corporation to actually affect the change.
Right, and those that are not publicly traded, that are private companies and not subject to the SEC disclosures, which really requires a lot of influence management coming from the two women who have scars to prove that fact, right? Thank you for being an inspiration, and thank you for putting your time and your money and your clout where your principles are. You know, not a lot of people do that, and you've done it consistently for a very, very long time before it was cool and people were rewarding people for it. You started doing it when you could put your career at risk, and that is formidable. So,
thank you, Joan.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I appreciate it. And thank you, Barbara Krumsick of Calvert Institute. Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you, Joan.
So Barbara Krumsick is just amazing, and as former CEO of Calvert Investments for the last 17 years, she's had a front row seat on sustainable investing and socially responsible investing. They really are a leader. She really has elevated socially responsible investing to the mainstream. It's quite remarkable, and I've watched this company grow. I want to point out a few things that I heard Barbara say. First of all, her definition of socially responsible investing, factor analysis of factors that influence the company that may not be reflected directly in the financials. And I would pose it, not even the footnotes, as anybody who's looked at a financial statement knows. You first place you go is the footnotes, because that's where all the juicy stuff is. For example, the environment, workplace practices, governance, and community relations. And she said to look at both the assets and the liabilities, you know, the assets being processes that they have that improve the workplace, such as diversity, community relationships, et cetera. And liabilities could be also climate risk. So, for example, reducing greenhouse gases, carbon footprint, and the carbon footprint, opportunities to offer new tools to manage their resource use, for example, energy and water, and also mitigation. Obviously, Superstorm Sandy and extreme weather events have shown us the damages of flooding and that you don't want your plant to be in harm's way if it's on a coastal community, et cetera. And then she talked about the keys to socially responsible investing, needing a more holistic analysis, needing transparency, which is very important, needing to have the talent who has the skills to perform these analyses, to look at these issues in the right way, because not everybody does. And that you not look at it from a standpoint of trade-off. That a more, for example, a more diverse board really does improve performance. It's not a trade-off. It's not something you have to give up, as she put it. She talked about how the disclosure and transparency are so important. The SEC has done two very important things in this area. One is the diversity disclosure requirements, and the other is environmental disclosure requirements. And large pension funds are requiring these things as well. And there's now principles for socially responsible investing. And then she talked about how this is an external focus, but that there also has to be an internal focus, so that the company has to look at their own culture and the way that they operate and not look at it through the same lens. They need some fresh eyes to look at their systems. So Barbara is amazing. If you have an opportunity, watch her TED Talk. Just Google Barbara Krumsick TED Talk, and it will pop up. It's called Why Aren't We There Yet? And it's really terrific. So thank you for joining us. Send us your questions. Send them to info@greenconnectionsradio.com. Post them to me on Twitter @JoanMichelson or @GreenConnectsDC, or post them on our Facebook page, and do like us on Facebook. Thanks again for joining us. This is Joan Michelson with Green Connections Radio. You can find us online on greenconnectionsradio.com. See you next time.
Capital Audio Post, your one-stop shop for your post-production needs. 703-712-8757.
Our services include video editing, sound design, sound mixing, ISDN recording, and many other media-related services.
Let us finish your project no matter where you are, across the U.S. or across the world. Go to www.capitalaudiopost.com. Call us at 703-712-8757.
Let us know how we can help you finish your production.